This is RSBNB Update, episode 521, recorded Friday, June 12, 2015, the beginning of senility.
Hello, am I allowed to talk now?
Yes, you are allowed to talk now. This is RSBNB Update with Earth and Shane12088. Unfortunately, there has been what appears to be a breakdown in communication with Pika, so we were not able to get him on the show this week,
But Shane did want to say a few words about him.
We'll save that for the end of the show.
We'll save that for the end? Okay.
Yeah, we'll save that.
Because maybe he's not dearly departed.
Okay,
right?
Now you're just going in totally the wrong direction for what we want to portray, you know? But anyways, so this is indeed the 10th anniversary edition of RSBNB Update, so thank you to everybody listening. For those of you guys who are just joining us, this is something that has been going on for, well, just that long, and this episode is going to just be like all the others, and we're going to start by talking about this week's RuneScape updates. So, the Slayer Belt, the first Rune Labs update.
Wait, this is the first one?
Yes, this is the first Rune Labs update that was chosen in January and is making it into the live game.
Really? I would have thought that they... Huh. All right.
Oh, I forgot to start my timer. Wouldn't be RSBNB update without that, would it? But anyways.
Am I recording at least?
Yes, we are recording.
All right.
So, did we vote for the Slayer Belt in January? I don't recall. I think I did.
I think so.
Because it was either this or Blasphemous Farming Timers.
Blasphemous?
Yeah, you don't need timers for farming. But anyways.
So That's what websites are for.
Slayer Belts, in addition to the standard tool belt that everybody has on RuneScape, except, well, this holds Slayer gear. So things like the Rock Hammer, Slayer Bell, Crystal Chime, either version, and the Ouroboros pouch. So, let's share with the listeners that interesting discussion we had about the Crystal Chime.
Yeah, so apparently they added one in Priftinus. This is the both versions bit. Apparently they added one with Priftinus that it functions identically to the one from the Path of Glowfree, but can be equipped in the main hand and offhand slots, saving you an inventory space at the expense of being unable to attack. So, not sure why that's use.
I mean, if you were doing an offhand or single-handed weapon, sure. But otherwise, I don't think you would want to use one in your hand, because everyone knows the most DPS you get out of combat is when you have an offhand and a main hand. So
no.
You can also have a salty bag, which you can buy a salt shaker. I'm sorry, a salt bag. Salt shaker.
Salty bag.
Yeah, it'll make you really salty, won't it?
Uh-huh.
Buy it from any Slayer Master. Icy water is in the ice shaker. The fungicide shaker. Fishing explosive, of course, the explosive shaker. And super fishing explosive, you buy a super explosive flask from any Slayer Master.
My super explosive flask.
But you gotta fill it with 100 rubidium ore.
Oh, God, that's from the Kenneth's Concerns place, right?
Yes. I don't want to go back there, but anyways.
Why not?
I don't know. I honestly did not like that quest. Felt like we were babysitting.
You had to go crush a slug monster thing.
That's the one.
Are you salty, Shane?
I'm not entirely sure what salty means as an adverb, or an adjective, rather, but... Anyways, so did you equip your Slayer Belt?
Yeah, I did.
And? Is it functioning adequately?
Yeah, seems to be working great. I added, the rock hammer, the Slayer belt, the Ouroboros pouch, salt bag, icy water, fungicide, and fishing explosive, and I'm working on figuring out how to get the crystal chime back again.
Yeah, that might be a tough one.
Yeah, apparently I have to go to the tree gnome stronghold, revert it to the seed, and then go back to the tree gnome village, and then make it a
chime,
right? Or
because
something
you can choose
like that.
Either chime,
it's not
or
working in just the tree gnome village, which is what I thought you were supposed to do. So,
oh, you'll be on the case with that.
And I might get the super fishing explosive one day.
What was this fishing explosive even used for?
Fishing explosive is for they're not Jogers, they're Mogers.
Ah, right, those. See, most of these Slayer creatures, I think, came out after the main Slayer update. And, you know, by the time that happened,
so the difference between super and normal fishing explosives is that you have to throw the fishing explosive to lure the Moger, like, normally.
Right.
But if you use the super one, it also does 150 damage.
Which is peanuts today.
Well, I mean, that's almost 10% of its health.
Oh, okay. So, well, fair enough then.
This is a lower level thing anyway.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I didn't get to experience many of these Slayer monsters because by the time these ones came out, I was already high level Slayer in high level combat and was using the different Slayer masters that actually gave, you know, tasks that people wanted to be doing. So, kind of unfortunate, but, you know, there's lots of interesting things back in the days when Slayer first came out. One of the first tasks that people could get was killing like 250 steel dragons. And back in the day, oh my god, how are you going to kill that many? So.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't even like doing like 20 or 30 of those.
Well, you're going to have to next week when Addy and Rune Dragons come out.
Oh, for the love of God.
That was another Rune Labs idea. But anyways, we're...
Can I not revert the saw to a seed?
I don't
what
know.
What the hell?
I have no idea.
Oh, this is the one I made in Prifdinas that you can wield.
That won't work.
Okay.
Yeah, that won't work.
That's my issue.
But also, we're forgetting four items that people use, you know, every day for their Slayer. And that's the Bone Crusher, the Charming Imp, the Seedicide, and the Herbicide. All of these.
You have to pay 500 Slayer points each.
And, I mean, sure. Bone Crusher, Charming Imp. I like herb lore and I like farming. So I don't see the point in the Seedicide or Herbicide because I pick up all my herbs and all my seeds. So I don't use those. So at most, I'm taking away two of
I had the seed in my bank.
Whoops.
Yeah. Oh, well.
And there's something interesting of note for those of you guys wondering. Okay, so I add this Charming Imp to my tool belt. And how do I, you know, tweak its settings? Well, you can actually go into the tool belt. And then when you hover over the Charming Imp, there is an option to customize it. So you don't lose the customizability of the Bone Crusher, Charming Imp, Seedicide, and Herbicide when you add them to the tool belt. So.
But Shane, right now you can't customize the Bone Crusher, right?
Exactly. So
but
that's only
if
for
you
the
do
other
this,
three.
You can.
Well, no. I mean, I haven't added the Bone Crusher, so I'm not entirely sure if it gains a customization option. But I'm just saying for the other three.
Well, because, I will endeavor to find this out.
Yeah, you were saying you're going to be doing a lot of Slayer. Right?
Yep, I will find out.
Okay. So. You know, I think this update is honestly something that should have come when the tool belt was first announced way back when.
So you think this Rune Labs update has been a success, Shane?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, Slayer came out 10 years ago or whatever it was. Yeah, January 05. And, I mean, Gargoyles have been out since then, and you've had to rock hammer them ever since. Granted, you know, there's the option of just having it in your inventory and having the killing blow happen. But, I mean, once, you know, you've amassed a certain amount of achievements and whatnot in RS, whether it be through a task system or a task diary, you know, it just doesn't make sense why we had to wait so long for this, and it was a Rune Labs update. In a way, I mean, yes, it's a simple update, but it was needed, and maybe this is a case of where, you know, Jagex has their own internal development schedule, and there's things like this that they, you know, could do and might have an interest in doing, but because of there's so many other things to do, it's always just been pushed to the back burner, and with Rune Labs it got elevated to the front.
So speaking of this killing blow thing, that's the reward from Slayer Kills, or yes. Smoking Kills,
yes.
That, like, once you get a gargoyle down to a low percentage of health when you can normally just right-click on it and smash it, this does it automatically.
Yeah.
Now, that it doesn't do it automatically if you just add it to the Slayer belt, right? Theoretically.
I would hope so, because that would invalidate that reward.
Yes.
So you would presumably have to do another click. Now, it's safe to say I didn't go out and kill any gargoyles with this update, and even if I did, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered because I already had the killing blows thing, so it probably would have performed the same way regardless.
I have that as well. Oh, cool. So if you add the crystal chime to your tool belt, your small crystal seed will be returned to you.
Oops. I think I destroyed mine.
You can go get another one.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it's a crystal saw, right? And I don't have any plans to train construction ever again.
Ever again?
Well, unless they, you know, add like a compelling room, like
ever,
like the greenhouse, you know. Yeah.
Ever the farmer, Shane.
Yeah, 31 million XP until level 120. But. Anyways, folks, there's the Slayer belt. Hopefully you guys will find some use in this update, if you slay at all.
Yay!
All right, so on to the tweaks and fixes for this week. A couple of lightning rod ones for us here.
Lightning rod ones?
Yeah, you know, drawing attention, you know, turning heads, raising eyebrows, that kind of thing.
Well, if you say so.
The quest point cape has been graphically updated. The option to toggle it to the old version, as well as attach a hood to either version, is available from the wise old man.
Heavens to Betsy.
I have posted some pictures of the quest cape options on the RSBNB Twitter account, at RSBNB staff, if anyone would like to go and have a look-see.
Nice
them.
Plug.
That's what I'm the best at. But, so... Quest Point Cape. What do you think? You have a very...
The new one looks terrible.
Okay. So...
Just gonna throw that out there.
What do you not like about the new one?
The icon's, like, at a weird angle.
Okay. I agree with that. And it's not even the quest icon. It's a compass. It looks like the icon for Safari, for heaven's sakes.
And it's tilted.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the adventures icon from down below, and that signifies so much more than quests. So, it's not what a quest point thing is, in a way. But are you going to be attaching a hood?
I think I did, only because the change is very, very minor, and it saves bank space.
Very true. I did run a poll on Clan Quest pertaining to this update, which You know, didn't surprise me as to the results.
And what were those results?
We had a total of 21 respondents. 43% are using the old version. 38% are using the old version with a hood. 5% are using the new version. And 14% are using the new version with a hood.
And none are just using the new version.
5%.
With the hood.
14% with the hood, new version. 5% new version without hood.
Oh, I see. Okay. So that's what? 1 in 3 people? 4 people total? Right? Because you said 21 responses and is 5 and 14%?
Yeah, 1 using the new version and 3 using the new version with the hood. So 4 people using new altogether. 17 people using some variant of the old one.
Wow. I mean, I mean, this is just going back to the debate when they were updated before, but I think they looked fine.
Yeah, they did, except for the damn shoulder pads.
They look more majestic. What about the shoulder pads?
They look like they're from the 1980s with those shoulder pads.
And the 1980s, that was a great decade. That's when you were born.
Did
you not like your own decade, Shane?
I do. I wish I could have been alive to experience it.
But you were alive!
I only had like 1 year of Reagan's presidency. But anyways, you're right, this goes back to the whole debate, and I'm not going to cite numbers from what they were. This is a, you know, we're beating a dead horse with this, but players voted for something new. Jagex rolled it back, and I guess we're thankful in this case that they did, that they have the togglescape option. But I mean, come on. Like, how hard would it have been to just touch up the old ones and go with that and put it out as a little patch notes update? No one would have cared, and you didn't need a poll on the subject. I don't know. I honestly think that if Jagex had been left to this update, they would have either just cleaned up the old versions or come out.
Or never touched it at all.
I almost spilled my water. That's first time that's ever happened on this show.
I find that difficult to believe.
Well, I was pointing with my finger.
Why were you pointing with your finger?
Because that's just something I do when I'm making a point. But they would have either just cleaned up the old version or come up with a better version that would have been less controversial if it was Jagex. And cleaning
less
up the old version...
controversial? Does that just mean less bad? That just means less bad, doesn't
it,
Shane?
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I see right through.
Because, I mean, there's a point when you're stepping on people's toes, and there's a point when you're trying to agitate people deliberately, right?
I find it difficult to believe Jagex was trying to irritate people with this.
Well, of course not. They weren't trying to irritate anyone, but, I mean, there are people in the community that were.
People always bitch and moan.
Exactly, and I mean, that's why...
I think this was something that should have been complained about.
Oh, but I thought you were going to say this was something that should have been left to Jagex rather than a poll.
No, it should have been untouched because it was fine as it was. It's not broken.
So it would have been better with Jagex doing it.
No, it would have been fine just leaving it as it... This is...
But it has clipping issues, the old model.
So? So does every other item in this game.
It's really annoying.
For you.
I know, and I honestly wish Patrick was here, because maybe now he'd be able to give me a straight answer.
No. All right, moving on.
Hang on, I just got one thing left to say on these. If you want to see something that can't be unseen, look at the new quest point cape or any other new cape from a profile view, and you'll see that the icon is actually floating.
Wait, what?
If you turn your character to the side, zoom in as far as you can, And look at that icon of any skill cake.
The old.
On the new models, you'll see the icons actually floating.
On the new model. All right, I'm gonna go do a field test right now.
Oh, I noticed it, and Uncle Sirion also noticed it.
Uncle Sirion.
He's another leader from Clan Quest, but...
All right, let's go take a look at this. Hello, wise old man.
Remember, you gotta have 99K in your inventory.
Yeah, no.
Which is actually a little bit of a bug with the wise old man in changing this, because he won't give you the option to change your...
I accidentally bought another quest game.
Nice going. But he won't give you the option to change the icon unless you have 99K in your inventory. That's a little bit of a bug. Hopefully it'll be fixed. But anyways.
God, that looks like shit.
Okay, now zoom in and look at the profile view of the cape from the side. You see it, right?
Yeah.
That exists with all the new skill capes. Yeah. So, as you can see, it's a bit odd, but I guess...
Ooh, that's better.
You got your old one back.
Yep, and a brand new one.
Oh boy, so you'll never lose it.
Now I gotta go buy it. Oh, good. Okay, Martin's right here. I can just buy another farming cape, so I have three now. All right, that's convenient.
You and your untrimmed farming cape.
Mm-hmm, nice and green. Oh, no, I just hit... Why is it one to buy with him, and then on this, it's no? Oh, my God.
See, this is typical. After so long, we got so many UIs in the game, and it just happens like that. But anyways, some good news from the patch notes this week. Players will no longer be matched to grouping system groups with which have any offline players. New groups will generate a new group and join that instead. And I have to say, this is very good that this has been fixed, because ever since the grouping system first came out, back when Trekkie and I were testing it, you would say, I want to go to the Kalphite King, but you get put into a group with five offline players, which is practically useless. So
practically?
Nice
Entirely?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because... Okay, entirely. But practically, because, I mean, you could still use the group if you somehow became group leader of it, but, you know... It's disturbing either way that it took so long to get this fixed, considering the grouping came out in September, I think, because when it comes down to it, it means that either not enough people were using the grouping system to care and report the bug, or two, the grouping system is not just it's not a high priority for Jagex. So it's disturbing either way.
Yeah. So does the grouping system, like, is it effective? Does it work well?
I honestly didn't.
Or were you even able to get it to work?
Back then, wasn't even able to get it to work.
All right.
So, and I mean, after two tries and, you know, patching it and making it a bit better the second time round, I just gave up with it. but it would probably be a good way, you know, to go find mini games groups for, like, heist and whatnot. So, anyways, players in the grouping system also now be informed when they're grouped with a player who goes offline. Honestly, if someone goes offline, they should just be removed from a group.
Well, they could have lagged out.
I guess, but I mean,
they should be given like a 20-minute thing.
All right. I guess, but...
And their spot can... I don't know.
Optionally be filled, and if it's the leader that times out, migrate the leader to someone else, I guess, but...
Yeah.
Anywho. the random group button has been removed from the grouping system interface as its function was misleading.
What was its function?
I don't know. I was trying to figure out how to start a solo Tuska group last week when I was doing this. And, you know, joining a group with other people, I didn't want that. So I clicked the random group button and I started my own Tuska event. So I can see why it was misleading. It was a case of, you know, okay, let's just click buttons until something happens here.
So I'm still not clear on what it was supposed to do.
If I had to wager a guess, it would find you a random group.
You're not either. All right.
Yeah. Find your
excellent
random group that fit within your requirements, but obviously didn't do that. It is no longer possible to cast alchemy spells or craft protein hides while balancing on a Heffen Serenity post.
Oh, darn.
XP waste.
Exactly.
Yep. Demon flash mobs have been added to the minigames tab. So if you want to, you know, go try out that D&D that was updated like 2 months ago, you can.
All right. I did that.
Yeah. And I was wondering when they were going to happen. But I wasn't able to find them, so I'll be able to find one now if I ever want to do one.
Yeah.
World event contribution cap has been increased, and Stabbing Tuska will now reset your gathering limit on Tuska's back. So basically that means you can earn more than 1K points a day, and you can do the woodcutting and agility.
I just enjoyed that sentence. Stabbing Tuska will now reset your gathering limit. All right.
On Tuska's back.
Wow.
Yeah. And
now,
my
question for this next one. All Grand Exchange clerks in Privdinas now offer a teleport to Varrock's Grand Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
No idea. Maybe the Varrock Grand Exchange is becoming desolate. No one's using it.
I use it, but I'm me.
I prefer to use it as well, but I don't teleport, so most often just end up using the Priftiness one.
You don't teleport?
Yeah, I lodestone.
Oh, that's what you mean. Okay. It's like, what? You walk everywhere? Even I'm not that bad.
You do need to talk to the GE clerk. It's not a right-click option, so you do need to dig for it.
Well, I wonder if it works both ways.
No.
Let's see.
No. Does not.
Yeah, it doesn't. Lame.
Anyways, that's all I wanted to highlight in the patch notes. Anything for your...
Bosses defeated in Champions Challenge can now be reset with the D&D token?
Oh, that's nice. If you could ever get a Champions Challenge ticket.
Yeah, but isn't that like a one-time thing?
Yeah, but I guess you can go back and do it after the D&D update.
Oh, right. They did do something with that, didn't they?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty.
Yeah, I don't really have much else.
Okay,
all right.
Then.
So.
Since we have last gathered here last Friday, the battle against Tuska has not been going well for the players. Since last Friday, the players have only managed to win 2 of the 5 or 7 days, rather. They won on June 7th and June 8th. Tuska won the remaining days in the preceding week.
And that is a Sunday and a Monday, for those of you who are curious.
Correct. And this means that, as of today, Tuska has won 8 out of 12 days.
The game was rigged from the start, everyone.
Yep, and I mean... Jagex isn't going to let anything too bad happen, and everything that...
if Tuska wins too many, RS is just going to shut down. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I was talking to some fellow in the Clan Quest chat room, and he actually had the same proposal.
Really? Who was it?
I don't recall, unfortunately.
I'm not familiar with I don't recall.
Oh, I don't
must
know.
Must be you.
Yeah, he must be, but... No one needs to worry. Everything, you know, that could possibly happen from this has been vetted by Jagex as an acceptable outcome. It's like Jagex...
Well, so are the new skill capes. So, I'm not comfortable.
Well, maybe it'll be, you know, a good chance to give the players a kick in the butt and make them realize that what they're doing isn't actually a game. And it's actually, you know, important.
You think this is a game?
Yeah, it's just like voting in, you know, any election. You need to take voting seriously.
Oh my god.
And just like when you have commitments, you need to take the commitment seriously of helping out Tuska. Or rather, not helping out Tuska. Aligning to a certain faction, ensuring Tuska doesn't cause too much trouble.
Much trouble.
Exactly. Let's see. You want to know the margins that Tuska's been winning by for the last week?
Yes, in percentages, if you don't mind.
Of course. On the 6th of June, since we last recorded, Tuska won by 1.2%. Then was followed
by... So that was
by,
a close one.
Yeah, then we had 2 days of the Godless winning. And then it seems as though the Godless just gave up. Because on the 9th, Tuska won by 15.9%. 20.9% on the 10th, 17.4%, and 15.4%. So the margin is up there as to how much the Godless are losing by. And, I mean, if we're only halfway through it and players aren't going to start caring, that margin could go up foreseeably. And honestly, seeing Jagex was modifying, you know, the difficulty day by day to, you know, influence outcomes and whatnot, I haven't gone back to the world event.
Yeah, so this is going to be like a Richard Nixon versus George McGovern thing eventually, right? Winning by a landslide each day.
Could very well
be. People are just going to give up.
Yeah. And
the game was rigged from the start. See, that's not helping me saying that, even though it's true, because now nobody's going to... Anyone who listens to this is going to be like, nope, I'm not doing that. It's
and,
rigged.
I mean, it's not our job to tell you to go out and do things pertaining to this. It's up to you to make a decision if you want to. And it's my decision that nothing bad is going to happen, and I've got what I need from the event, so I'm not going back.
Uncle Shane promises that nothing bad will happen.
Exactly. Anyways, further thing we'd like to talk about this, aside from maybe the Nixon-McGovern comparison?
No, not really.
Alrighty then. I'm also going to point out that Jagex has been publishing some stuff from Wizard Chambers in the so-called Astromancer's Log. And it conveniently starts out with Astromancer's Log, rune date, 4851.
Oh my god! everywhere!
I must say I'm surprised. I thought that of all the factions, Ceridomus would be the ones with the most supporters. Where are the White Knights of Falador? Do they not realize the urgency of the situation? And what about Armadil? Didn't he supposedly win the battle against Bandos? Surely his troops are more than able to lend a hand. I wish Guthex was alive. At least it was simple back then. One dormant god in the world, impervious to all the others. Untouchable, like the millions of stars, unreachable to us.
Wait, was he saying Guthix was untouchable? Because
no.
Nah, he was not.
with Guthix being around, the world was untouchable because of the Eaters.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so there's a link in this to the Astromancer's log on update.rsbnb.com. And the next one is Astromancer's log, rune date 4853. I love that, the whole rune date thing. I got to incorporate that into my sequel for Enlightened Journey.
Oh, God, are you writing fan fiction now?
No, but I'm going to write a proposal for Rune Labs next time they're looking for a quest as a sequel of Enlightened Journey.
I will begrudgingly support that because I like getting paid.
Thank you.
Yes, boss.
Anyways, this week on Treasure Hunter, there's a couple of interesting things to the skilling outfits. A couple of modified pieces. Modified botanist mask, sous chef toque, first stage tiara, and modified farmer's hat. Each one of these has interesting little side effects to it. For example, the modified farmer's hat gives you free bird's nest containing seeds, and
is that like when you're
patch teleports?
So the free bird's nest, is that like when you're training farming, you have a chance to get that, or you right click on it and it gives you some?
It gives you some.
Oh, cool.
Because the botanist mask gives you 150 or 200 free noted water vials every day.
Oh, cool.
Yep. Botanist mask also three teleports to the Catherby herb patch. So,
oh, that's, you know, nice.
Yeah, both these would be good for farming, actually. Herb farming, when you think about it. But I do more than three herb runs a day, so that's kind of useless to me. Be nice if it was like five or six.
It's not useless.
Well, I mean, two of the runs I'm gonna have to run like I do now. So,
yeah, but three of them you won't.
Yeah, I guess. I just hope I'm gonna get one this weekend because I'm not throwing rune coins at this. I mean, I'm not throwing treasure hunter keys at this through bonds or whatever.
Yeah.
The sous chef gives you 6 or 10 pie shells per day. I don't know anyone who trains cooking with pies.
No.
Yeah.
And, I do not.
The first stage tiara gives you either 1 or 3 dragon bones per day. That seems kind of pitiful.
1 or 3 dragon bones?
Yeah, see...
What?
I've been saying 1 or 3, 6 or 10, 150 or 200, right? And the reason that is because if you have the full outfit, you get 3. If you only have part of the outfit, you get 1.
I see.
Yeah. So, if you have the full outfit, you get 4 nests per day, where if you don't, you only get 2. Vials, 150 or 200 if you own, well, not the full outfit. It says 4 or 5 pieces, so practically the whole outfit. But yeah, hopefully I will be able to get one of the farmer's hats, and if not, well, let's hope it'll be on Vic next time.
Right. Oh yeah, did they add that guy in yet?
Yeah, you missed him. Right? Yeah, he was gone. He was there, like, last month.
Oops. Oh, well.
Yes. Okay, so you ready to talk about invention?
Sure.
So, invention. You know, that was the option that lost to the Elf City in the first Power to the Players poll in 2014. And invention is coming back either later this year or early next year. And there's a 38-minute podcast on the subject, and I got a few bullet points that I'll summarize for everyone.
All right.
So, in addition to invention, it brings along the idea of an elite skill. That is what invention will be. Elite skills will require 2 or 3 skills at around level 80 to unlock, meaning you won't be able to get XP in them before you reach that point. They're going to be skills, you know, based on a combination of other skills. So crafting and smithing might be an option for the first one. They're going to go from level 1 to 120. And the XP curve is going to be a little bit less painful than it currently is to get to 120. We don't know what this is going to look like exactly. Jax doesn't know what it's going to look like either. So that's still very much in development. They also want the level up to be more than just, you know, unlocking something new and filling in the skill guide. So there's going to be reasons to have certain levels. Let's see. What else was here? Invention will be smithing and crafting. And weapons will improve an ability. And you and I were talking pre-show about this, and that likely means, you know, an ability from the action bar.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. It's not going to be focused on the godless as tight as it was going to be before. There's going to be a light connection to the godless, but it doesn't mean you know that you need to be affiliated with them or anything like that. There's going to be tech trees in this. So, for example, the first two will be divine and dwarven technology. Later ones will be gnome and crystal, as an example. That'll come out. And invention is what the game needs for the economy, and it's Jagex's choice. They said, you guys chose the Elf City, we're choosing invention. And there's also a little nugget in here. They have not given up on moving some skills to level 120. And that was, believe it or not, pulled in the live stream. So that's what players say, but yet, well, they shot down a prestige system way back when. So if you, you know, are interested in invention and all, you should definitely go give a listen to this podcast. I honestly think it's going to be interesting to see what we can come up with here. Mainly because these are going to be skills that you work on after you've done other things. And a very interesting thing, you're not going to be able to use prismatic or prismatic lamps with these skills.
Oh, no. What are we gonna do?
Yeah, there won't be any, you know, sharp upticks in invention skill of the month stuff. So, anyways, that's what JX has highlighted in brief. If you want more information, listen to the podcast. You have any comments before we delve into invention later in the questions?
No.
All right. Does it sound interesting to you?
Eh.
And
I don't know.
Let's be clear. This is the thing that is going to, you know, revitalize player-made weapons and whatnot and, you know, give a reason to have high-level smithing. So in that regard, it's a good thing, but we'll talk more about the specifics later in the numerous questions that you guys have asked us this week. And I guess the final piece of RS news this week for our 10th year is that next week the Adamant and Rune Dragons will be coming out. So if you want a bit of a sneak preview, you can watch the behind-the-scenes video, get a preview of the new Brimhaven dungeon for the Adamant Dragons, and the new area on Kethsi for Rune Dragons that actually fly.
Oh no, they fly.
Yeah, so you're going to need to use range
spooky,
to take them out.
Scary.
You'll be fine, I'm sure.
Spooky, scary, Shane. Yep.
Spooky, scary skeletons?
Yes, there you go.
Yeah,
learning.
Skeletons in the closet. I don't have
that's
any.
Not all that's in the closet, Shane.
Oh?
That's not all.
Would you care to expand?
No.
Okay. Well, in that case, maybe we should move on to questions then.
All right. Oh, no, Paul.
No, he's
dead. Deceased?
No.
Killed him?
No. All right. The first one's audio question from the RR man.
Dun, dun. Bit of classic Sorensen 57 and R man there. Oh, so many memories. So much Shane. Too much Shane. No, not enough Shane. That's for sure. 10 years. Congratulations. There are definitely not that many podcasts out there that make it this far. And, you know, there's a clap right there. You are now around for as long as it took Prifness to appear. All right, speaking of milestones, RuneScape is about to hit the next level. And what do I mean by that? Elite skills. Jagex just released an official RuneScape podcast about Inventor, and holy F, it was incredible. I couldn't believe how excited it made me. Probably the most excited in years. Question 1. Will this fix the economy? Question 2. Are you happy, Shane, that Jagex did what you always want them to do and just make some bloody decisions? F the polls. And question 3, the obvious one. What other skills do you think could be combined? Now call me crazy, but if you listen to the Jagex podcast, they will make you convinced that sailing could be an awesome idea. And I predict that it will come as an elite skill. Well, once again, congratulations, guys. Let's keep this podcast going for another 10 years. Or at the most, let's see this podcast survive longer than RuneScape. We all know it's going to happen. It will one day die. I want to see Shane there at the end so we can all celebrate what a wonderful game it was together. Peace out.
So Shane, yeah, you know, I think you were just invited to give the eulogy.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, eh? Preside over the death of RuneScape.
Preside over the death? That does not sound like a eulogy. That sounds like an execution.
Well, I mean, we would definitely...
What?
Well, no.
What do you mean?
Basically, what I'm saying is that we would be witnesses to it, and we will undoubtedly have some part of it.
All right.
If players are to believe with the Tuska event. But anyways, invention. Economy. Yes. Good. As long as people are leveling up and, you know, the costs are high enough with the raw materials, it will always be a good thing for the economy. Because let's remember that the only way of taking out things like the longbows, magic longbows, rune stuff, rune junk like that, aside from, you know, dropping it, is alchemizing it. And the problem with that is that, well, we're just adding more GP to the economy. And as we saw in 08 and 09, that led to massive inflation. So this is definitely a good way of going around this kind of thing. And it's really too bad it took this long to get there. But the sense I got from the podcast is that this is the next step for RuneScape in that, you know, okay, we've thought of all the primary skills we can do. But now let's think that, okay, maybe we can add more primary skills later, but secondary skills and elite skills are going to be, you know, the things that enhance the game and take it to RuneScape the next generation, so to speak. That's the sense I got from the podcast. And, you know, just a brief summary for anyone who did not listen to the podcast, aka you, Earth, is that you will, say, decompose something like a maple longbow, right? And you'll get wood chunks, you'll get chunks of metal from it, maybe some bowstring chunks from it. You could also maybe get an essence of sharp or an essence of wood, they said. And they
essence
said these...
Essence of sharp?
Yeah, like sharp things, you know, like pointy things.
Oh my god.
That's the name they used in the podcast.
Really? That's what they that's all they came up with?
Yeah, because you're going to get
uncommon... Essence of sharp?
You're going to get common, uncommon, and rare items when you decompose something. You'll
rare,
get...
the uncommon essence of sharp.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh my god.
And then you might get a rare item that's, say, that is the essence of a bow.
Rare essence of sharp.
And then these essences will be used to make other items and whatnot and enhance ranged gear. So.
Oh my god.
That's the names they're running with, and it was Osborne that came up with them.
Oh, come on, Ozzy. You can do better.
You can do better. Okay. Now, question number 2 was, well, do you have any... I should let you answer the economy one as well. Do you want to...
I think you covered it. You know you covered it.
Yeah, let's just not forget the essence of supply and demand. Oops. I didn't mean that. But essence of supply and demand. That'd be an interesting one, don't you think?
Okay, I was concerned that you made a joke, and then you were like, oops, or I thought you didn't start the recording or something, and that was, I was going to be annoyed.
Well, I did make a joke unintentionally, but I didn't intend to.
Ah, that's how it usually happens for you, isn't it?
Yep. But, yeah, I'm glad Jagex is, making some decisions with this that are very big decisions at that. It seemed like most of the big decisions were coming through Rune Labs and Power to the Players, but it's evident, that they still want to make decisions like this. And, with the amount of positive feedback this is receiving, I think it does something for Jagex, which is good.
Hooray!
Honestly, I think that if you attacked something like the prestige system with an outlook like elite skills, then maybe we could have had prestige. But anyways, I'm still not ready to give up on prestige mode. Because that just makes more sense than putting skills to 120.
Go back and play your fish, Shane.
Huh? My fish?
Hold on. The fish. Cod?
Oh, right.
Call of Duty. Prestige system.
Less Call of Duty I played was Modern Warfare 2, by the way.
That was like the one that cemented the stereotype.
Yeah, I know. That was really buggy. I can, highlight some of the bugs later, but...
No, please do not.
No. They were very
I will pass.
Yes. But are you glad Jagex made some decisions on this?
I'm glad Jagex made decisions.
Yeah. Because, when it comes to game health like that, it's definitely something you gotta do, right?
Yes. Make decisions. And they did that. And for that, I am happy. I don't even really care what they made a decision about, but they made a decision on their own.
Which is good.
Yes.
Very good. Reassuring to see a dominant, leader type position like that. And to me, that's what gives me the most confidence, is when you see a dominant leader who is not afraid to make decisions, not afraid to step on people's toes, and is very confident in the direction that he or she is going.
Yeah?
And that's why I like Apple so much.
Oh my god.
But anyway. Question 3. Will I have words about RuneScape if we make it to the point and I have to eulogize the game?
And I'm just going to bet right now you're going to be invited to the funeral. On the servers one by one, you're there to give them their last rites or something. Could totally see that. You and Ozzy. I'm going to start calling him that.
He'll probably be CEO by then.
He's not already? Why is he not already?
He's lead designer of RuneScape.
Oh, but as CEO, you wouldn't get to do any of that stuff. Nope, you're staying where you are.
Yes.
Sorry, Ozzy.
Alrighty. I think that covers our man's question, does it not?
I think so.
Alright, thank you for that question. And, that's your original intro that you did, and I still think that sounds like a Steam engine, doesn't it?
Yeah, Dave's intro sounded a little odd. Did he, re-record that for those guys or something?
No, they made that on their own.
No, they didn't. You're making...
They did.
Why have you started making things up in the recent episodes? I'm sick and tired of your shit.
It's all part of my plan to make us more like Fox News.
I'm resigning.
Well, we don't know that Fox News makes everything up.
I'm resigning.
They probably don't make a lot of it. Anyways, next question is from Barumska. There's a name we haven't heard from in a long time.
Really?
Yeah. Hello, Shane, Earth, and Pika. How you doing? Barumska here. Now, Jagex seems to focus heavily on the gods, but it seems to me they neglected one quite important one. Well, they killed off Bandos, but that doesn't mean the Empire's down, right? That's how you get Episode 7 of Star Wars. So I was wondering, who do you think would be a good substitute, and why? I personally think one of those play heroes, the Raptor, he seems to be not doing much nowadays. I think his personality would be perfect candidate. And lastly, Shane, would you happen to know any new iPad releases coming up? Because my mother's old iPad 2 seems to be playing up nowadays. So I was wondering if you have any good suggestions. Anyways, congratulations on 10 years. Surprising I've been here for 4 or 5. Anyways, I'll talk to you next time. Or I'm scared out.
All right, so here's my bet. Zoros is going to come in and take over all of Bandos' stuff. Because that seems like a Zoros thing to do.
Yeah.
Manipulate weak people.
That's right. And also, he will just fill in as that regard, because he is, and essentially, the highest god there is next to the elder gods, except maybe Saren, right?
Yeah, and they'll respect his power, even if he's not Bandos.
But remember, it's Zaro's power, so it's not going to be outright known that they're being influenced by him.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you think it'll be him that takes over in some way.
Yeah, that's my bet.
That leads those followers. Okay.
What do you think?
I had two interesting ideas. You know, one of them, could have maybe seen the Bandos ones, you know, embrace some of the godless technologies, but I think the difference between the godless and Bandos is a little bit too much.
Well, I mean, one was a god, and the others don't want... Yeah, there's a bit of a difference.
Yeah, but I'm saying the followers, you know, might adopt some of the godless ideals.
I mean, they are kind of godless now, so...
Yeah, and no god interference. That's mainly what I meant by that. The second thing's a long shot, and I mean, last we saw of her, she was near death, wasn't she? Zanuck, right?
She dead. Pretty sure she dead. She gonna be dead soon.
Yeah, that's right, but she went back to the goblin homeworld. So I was thinking,
plus,
you know...
Plus, you could also kill her for some reason.
Right.
So I don't think that would work.
Yeah, and I bet some players
unless
did.
They pull a Janeway. And resurrect her.
Yeah.
So, well, no, we already did, didn't we? We've already resurrected her once. We can do
yeah,
it
Yeah, that's
twice.
Right. I didn't actually kill her in that last goblin quest.
I don't know why they gave us the option!
Yeah, and I don't think we ever got numbers on how many people actually killed her. That would have been interesting to know. But, I mean, with a god artifact, there's no reason why I couldn't inherit some of that power and, you know, reinvigorate herself if the Bandos followers, you know, at some point need some kind of a figure to follow, right?
I guess.
But the sense I got from the quest is that storyline was done and she was done, and
the second time that it's done, right?
Yeah, and we don't know what's going to happen with the Bandos followers, and I guess that's why Muramska is asking this question. So
I don't think you gave an answer.
Well, I said it's either going to be Zanuck or they're going to adopt godless-like tendencies and not want any god interference in the world.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you think of his idea of the Raptor?
Only if I get to kill him.
When did we deal with the Raptor, anyways?
What was it, a centaur quest? With the shield guy, Sir Owen? He was in that quest, wasn't he?
Right, it was when they were introducing the signature heroes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only time I remember him.
Like, those ones need to make an appearance again at some point.
Yeah, what's happened to them?
I don't know. I mean, it's gods and... who knows?
I mean, Ariane... what's her name?
Ariane. Rune Mysteries.
She just seems to be fan service.
Yeah.
And she and the old woman, Zenya?
That's right.
Are the only ones, and Sir Owen, I guess. Okay, half of them have, I guess. I don't even remember how many there are. I'm just arbitrarily assigning
half. It doesn't matter at this point.
Sounds right.
They're just a loose thread that needs to be pulled on, I think.
Yeah.
Alrighty. And pertaining to iPads, the time for iPads is September. The general consensus is that we will see an updated iPad Air as well as a 12-inch iPad, seeing as that the iOS 9 is now able to do split-screen multitasking. So
what?
That's likely what we'll see in September. Yeah, we'll talk about this later in the Apple news. But I would say expect a larger iPad and an updated iPad Air sometime in September. Or if you can't wait, well, the current iPad Air 2s are very nice compared to what is an iPad 2. All right. Thank you, Maremska, for that question. The next one is from Lord Fast Wesley, in which I'll read. Hello, magical hosts. It is I, Fast Wesley. First off, I'd like to... skipping that, since Pika's not here. But I will pass along your greetings to Pika. Second, happy 10th birthday to the greatest RuneScape community, which is actually the podcast's birthday. RSBMB itself is a bit older. But anyways, thank you for the sentiment. Now to my questions. What do you think of the new world event, Tuska? I see Shane complaining about how no one ever does anything to it, so Tuska keeps winning. But what do you think about the whole overall concept? Two, what bosses do you recommend for a boss beginner? I do a bunch of barrows sometimes, but it doesn't really feel like that counts anymore. Thank you so much, guys. And as always, Godspeed. Another fine day in the scape to you all. Cheers.
All right, so, the world event, the game was rigged from the start.
Yes.
That's all I have to say on it. You are free to elaborate as long as you want. Not really, I'll cut you off after about 5 minutes.
I don't really need much more time to say that.
We kind of covered that before, right?
Yeah, in the previous weeks, I honestly think that the world event this time around is predetermined, and the things leading up to that are that...
God, that could get really philosophical.
It could.
But the gods, is fate predetermined? Or or do we have free will?
But... you know, JX has been tweaking the difficulty of Tuska as the event went on. And because of that, it just means that, okay, they're doing this for a reason, and they obviously have a specific end goal. So what I theorized is that there's three possibilities. One, either we completely, you know, destroy Tuska and win a majority of the days. Two, it's split about half and half or 60-40 either way. Three, Tuska wins a majority of the days and something else happens. I personally think they're wanting Tuska to win a majority of the days because they have a rating update that's coming this summer. So the idea is that portions of Tuska or portions of the world will be destroyed by Tuska, as with the various meteor fragments that come from Tuska will hit the world, and that'll open up new rating areas for the players to explore and enjoy. So that's my theory on this whole thing. Anyways, all right. That's that. Bosses for a beginner, hands down, the best one to go to is the Queen Black Dragon. Reason being is it can be done in Barrow's gear, God Wars gear, and it makes a good amount of money. And you do it solo, and you don't really need that many inputs. So that is definitely the thing you want to do if you want to start bossing. And after that, you could probably take it up to a Calphite King duo with some friends. Yeah, definitely start with the Queen Black Dragon. We actually put together a video guide back in February, I believe, about this. And it's a 20-minute extensive guide on the Queen Black Dragon and how to kill it effectively. So there will be a link in the show notes with your question to this video, so I highly recommend that you give that a watch. And you're not much of a bosser, so I assume you don't have anything to add there.
I do not.
Yeah. Another thing you can do, if you had a bunch of friends, say three other ones who, you know, you might want to go somewhere and trust with them, is the Rise of the Six Barrows event, but that's pretty hard. So I'd say Queen Black Dragon, then Calphite King. All right. Thank you, Fast Wesley, for the nice question. And the link to the guide is in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com.
And it's actually there this time.
Yes, I put that in right now.
Good on ya.
And you get to listen to my voice for another 20 minutes.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What an exciting time for these listeners.
Yes. Oh, boy. And the questions from Colton.
Oh, I guess I get to read this one. Hosties, a big congratulations on hitting the massive 1-0. What a milestone. Anyway, here are your questions for the week. When eating, do you prefer to focus on consuming a single item until it is gone, or do you go by the strategy of grazing from one item to the next until everything is gone? When filling a drink, what ice water volume ratio do you see as optimal? Are you some caveman who doesn't believe in ice? Shane, another question about the Great North. Do you guys get tornadoes like we do down here? I don't think I've ever heard of one in Canada. That's amusing because you were talking to me about that yesterday, Shane. And with the reveal that invention will actually be an elite skill unlocked by levels in certain other pre-existing skills, do you think this move by Jagex is a step in the right direction, as they know where most of their player base lies, or are they taking a step back and locking newer players out of too much content? Discuss. Thank you all for kicking all the asses for the last 10 years, and here's to 10 more. Love, Colton.
He didn't write that.
Well, you can shove it, so...
All right. You know, I tend to go clockwise around the plate.
I just pick something up on my plate and eat it.
Without much thought.
Pretty much.
All right. And, I mean...
Though if I get a burger, I get a burger. I'll eat the fries afterwards if I'm still hungry. I wanted the burger.
Okay. And, you know, not the same thing for me. I go half and half with that. But because of the way the portion sizes are, I do end up having the fries left over because I don't, you know, get to all of them in most places. You know, I was thrown for something last week. We went to Chili's, which I'm not going to, you know, discuss as the quality of the food, but I was actually given a rectangular
plate. So you don't
plate.
Like Chili's?
I don't.
Why did you say you did?
I never said that.
It's like, I thought you hated Chili's, and then you said, I never said that.
Oh.
Give your damn mind.
Well, I was reminded that I don't, because, I mean... Quite honestly,
you're
they don't
reminded
know how to...
that you don't.
Yeah, they don't know how to cook fish there, and same thing with chicken. It was kind of bland, but I was thrown for something with a rectangular plate. I don't normally eat with a rectangular plate, so this time I went right to.
Oh
left.
God! So you didn't know what to do, did you?
Well, I just had to think a bit, you know.
Because the plate was a different shape.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, The coleslaw was with the fish, right? The scoop of potatoes with the rib, and the corn and beans was with the chicken. So it was like, okay, so do I start? I didn't have room to move them, so I could, you know, have the coleslaw first, which I would normally do, and then the potatoes.
You have such a difficult life.
Well, I mean, it was an interesting thing, because normally I don't like to let my food touch each other, right?
All right.
And, yeah. But we won't talk about that, because that's something I can be fairly obsessive about.
Uh-huh.
You too?
No. Oh, like I said, okay. I just eat it.
All
right. If it is there, I consume it.
Okay.
Provides me sustenance.
You ingest nutritional biomatter.
There you go. Just like the Borg we all know you are.
Number two.
Apparently I'm a caveman or European. Because I don't like ice in my drinks when I get them, like at restaurants or something. Like at home, if I really want it cold, then I'll put a bit of ice in there. But otherwise, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't really use much. Actually,
because you get less drink.
Yeah, that's true. And it waters it down too much. So I don't use the ice when I'm out because that's cold enough. The only time I use ice is if there wasn't enough time to, you know, put it in the fridge or freezer before drinking it.
Yeah, like if I've been working outside or something, I'll put ice in it so it's a lot colder. But yep. If it's a hot summer day.
All right. That was fairly uniform on that question then. But of course... If I'm making iced tea, it's an entire glass of ice, and then the cold or the warm or the hot tea gets poured on top of that.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's how you make iced tea. You make it double strong, use double the amount of tea leaves, and there you go.
Double strong.
Yes. Mm.
So you like
lots of good iced teas that you can make. Yeah, that's not a thing.
Shane.
Yeah?
Sweet tea? Come on.
No.
Ha! I knew you weren't real.
What do you
trying
mean?
Trying to say y'all and shit, but then you don't. Ugh. Sweet tea, it's a southern thing, Shane.
Ah, southern right. Thing. Okay. Yeah, I prefer my iced tea kind of bland rather than sweet.
Damn Yankees.
Oh, so you drink iced tea as well then?
I do not.
Okay. Well, anyways, number three. Speaking of hot weather and tornadoes, yes, we do actually. There's a big one here in Edmonton in 1987. I believe it killed 27 people. There was a smaller one that went through a lake south of here, about hour and a half south, I want to say, in the early 2000s. That one took 4 people. So they're not as common as they are in the U.S., but they can still happen. There was actually a tornado warning yesterday for a very small one south of here that happened. So it is possible to happen. It's very irregular for them to happen in June. Most of them happen in July or August to mid-August, because by the end of August it's turning to fall already and losing that heat. So it is indeed possible to happen here.
It is indeed possible. I think
yes.
You said it is indeed impossible.
Oh, I said it is indeed possible.
I heard impossible. Just clarifying for anyone else who was as confused as I.
Yeah, well, the reason it happens is because the mountains here provide a good amount of uplift, and we can also get, you know, warm prairie air coming up from the south, and those two things mix, and if there's wind shear and rotation, it just takes off from there, and that's how it goes. And, you know, some of the biggest storms in Canada actually happen on the prairies and the foothills just to the east of the Rocky Mountains here because of the way that works. So, basically,
today I learned
between...
that Alberta is basically the American Midwest.
Yeah, yeah, basically. You can pretty much go from Edmonton to Calgary on a summer's day. In the afternoon, you'll be guaranteed to pretty much see a thunderstorm of some magnitude.
Really?
Yeah.
Any given day.
Pretty much, yeah. And here, if we don't have a strong high-pressure ridge over the area, which basically means the air is acting as a blocking force for any low-pressure air coming in, and therefore preventing the development of weather systems.
All right, stop. Like I'm five.
Okay, basically means that without a high-pressure system, by the mid-afternoon, it's cloudy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And there is your meteorology lesson for the day, children.
All right. Number four.
We talked about that.
Yeah,
but,
we did pretty much.
I think they are realizing finally where most of their player base lies, which is good. And it just gives lower levels something to aspire to.
Exactly. And when you look at the way the current XP works in RuneScape, comparing someone who came in 04 to now, you can get level 80s and whatnot so much faster now than back then. So I think that adding these new elite
like
skills...
someone got a quest cape within, I think, a week and a half on an Iron Man account.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Well, there you have it.
Damn easy.
So that's why that's needed. And, like, do you remember back in the day how much of an accomplishment it was to, you know, get the level to make anti-fire potions, for example?
Yes.
So, I think that's a kind of.
60 attack.
Yep, for dragon weaponry. So that's the kind of stuff we need to aspire to now, I believe. And elite skills are a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, thank you for the questions, everyone. It was a pleasure answering them as always. If you want to send more in, just email them to questions@rsbnb.com. Or if you want to send us a voice question over Google Voice, the number is 571-572-2632 or 571-57BNB. All right.
Yay. And you can send text messages to that as well, by the way.
Yes. Thank you for the reminder. That's good. So, tech news of the week. Bit of trouble on Reddit, it seems. So you were going to send me this. And you didn't.
Yeah, but
it
was like 6 a.m. and I was like waking up and I looked at my phone to see what was going on in the world. I saw the article and I was like, hey, shame I like that. And then I fell back asleep for like 5 hours. So you never got it.
Yeah, but I found it. So basically, this week, Reddit decided that they're going to be banning subreddits that outright promote the hatred of certain groups. So. I mean, one of them was Fat People Hate. I'm not going to name the other ones, but they're actually taking to it and banning people for this. Actually,
I don't see a problem with this.
No, I don't. I think it's a good idea, but I just have a, you know, like one concern still. It's that...
You're concerned about Reddit?
Yeah, because if you take, for example, any other case, and they say they're banning actions and not ideas, which I understand, but what if we take that next step and we ban something based on an idea?
That's outright hate there. Yeah. That's something completely different.
And I completely agree with the banning of these. Let's not leave any doubt for that. And I mean, there are other weird ones as well. Like, I think there was one. Wasn't there one about dead kids or something at some point, too?
That one got banned pretty quickly.
Okay, that's good. I wasn't sure if that one got banned. But, I mean, it's good that they actually have a policy about that now. That makes me a little bit less apprehensive about using the website. I don't know. I think it's the job of an internet community to, you know, take a step and, you know, enforce a positive image of morality. But that's just me.
Yeah.
And as I said, it makes me a little less apprehensive about using the website, but still there are very large cliques and whatnot. And I don't know. I'm not entirely sold that the idea of social news like Reddit is actually a good thing. I'm actually not even sold that social news on Twitter is a good thing, actually, either.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, I mean, you can basically choose who you're seeing from, right? And sure, if you have an objective mind and whatnot and you choose your sources properly, there's no problem. But if you isolate yourself into an echo chamber, it's not really.
Shane, do you know how many political subreddits I'm subscribed to?
No.
Zero.
Okay, well, that's good then.
My top visited ones are Ask Reddit, Hockey, Fallout, TF2, Xbox One, RuneScape, Surface, Windows Phone, Windows. That's pretty much it.
All right.
And I mean, I don't know what the quote unquote normal Reddit users' subscriptions are like, but since I'm guessing most of them are gamers, it's probably something more like that.
Hopefully.
It's not political. I do not get political news. Well.
Well, it's kind of hard to say.
I use other sources.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, that's the same thing to do. I will truly admit that. So.
And just like YouTube, there are some places where going into the comments section is a poor decision.
Exactly. But anyways, back to the main story. Overall, good decision, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, good. So, moving on from that, this week was Apple's developer conference in San Francisco.
Developers!
No, that's right? Microsoft. That's Microsoft Steve Ballmer. Big stories, OS X, El Capitan, iOS 9, and Apple Music. Not much to write home about in El Capitan and iOS 9. Mainly maintenance releases, not too many new features. iOS 9, though, is getting split multitasking on the iPad.
Hooray.
So you'll be able to have two applications up at once. Basically, swipe over on the right-hand side of your screen, and you'll choose an application, and you can see it and interact with it and whatnot. And then if you have one of the newer iPads, you can expand that split and have a larger version of each one. So you can go half and half rather than two-thirds and a third. Lots of people have been wanting that for a long time. And
what, the side-by-side thing?
Yeah, I think the reason it hasn't been done...
It's like Snap.
Exactly, that's what it is. And something like that's coming to OS X, actually, as well.
Whoa, hold on. That's exactly what it is. So what you're saying is Apple copied Microsoft.
Yeah, pretty much. But there's a reason it took this long. A developer reason it took this long. I'm not going to go into the whole version of this, but if you want to know, I'll tell you later what it is. But just to spare the listeners, there are some technologies that have been introduced over the last 3 years that made this possible. And without those technologies and a lot of the apps adopting these technologies, a split view like this would have resulted in a very poor user experience.
Mm-hmm. Do you think about Steve Ballmer?
Oh, here we go again.
You could power Cleveland with that guy's energy.
Aw, she didn't say the right one. What do you think about Steve Ballmer?
Developers, 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 etc.
All right.
Steve Ballmer is the former CEO of Microsoft, and there's this... Would you call it famous or infamous, Shane?
Infamous.
There's this infamous video of him running on stage, just in a light blue shirt, galloping around, clapping like mad, and just yelling, "Developers, developers, developers!" And the reason I mentioned his shirt is, by the end of it, it was soaked. You could tell.
Yeah. I'm just happy that Tim Cook is more restrained.
Oh, shit. Did not realize my speakers were on. Oh, well, we should play it for the listeners.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Sorry,
this
for
is like
the poor
at
audio.
A conference.
Yeah. It was Microsoft's conference way back when, many years ago. Looks like it was in the XP era, I want to say. Mm-hmm. But anyways, also an iOS 9 Siri is getting more intelligent.
That, from what you've told me. So, what's it called? Application hooks?
Yes.
Are you guys finally getting those?
No.
But
we're getting search. We're getting hooks for search. So
like you can't say Netflix search arrested development.
No, but Netflix will be able to update their app so that when you search in for a movie on your iPhone using the search tool, it will pull up results from Netflix if you have that installed.
Oh, wait, so the new search thing that they're spending so much time with, but then Siri isn't going to be able to do any of that.
Well, the idea is that, you know, you'll use search for the more complicated queries like that, but, iOS 9 Siri will actually, it'll be more like Google now. That's the best way of putting it. And the thing they touted is that we don't need all your data to do this. It's all done on your device. And they said that's why it's taken so long for them to do this, is because they wanted a commitment to user privacy. And, you know, that's another thing that was really highlighted at the keynote as well, is that we're not in the business to make you the customer. And quite frankly, for anyone
who's
scared of
Google... You
mean to
make you the product?
Yes, that's what I mean, sorry. And quite frankly, for anyone who is scared of Google, I don't know why you're using anything Google Chrome related. Apple's your best bet. I'm not one of those people, but I know there are people out there like that.
So, like, El Capitan. Why?
Less to talk about than iOS 9. It's
No. The name. Okay. Why?
It's a mountain in Yosemite National Park, and the idea is that El Capitan, the OS, is just an extension of Yosemite. That's all.
All right. So, I still think it was better when they were naming them all after German tanks. Maybe next we'll see El Führer or something. OS 11 Mein Führer, right?
Oh boy. Example
you
they give
excited.
Of No, an example excited. What they can give of what the new Siri can do is remind me about something when I get back to my car, or show me videos.
Whoa, hold on. You can't do that now?
No.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. You can't do that now. Because
you can't say, remind me to do something next time I get somewhere.
Well, you can say when I get somewhere, but it doesn't know about your car. It knows about your home, where you are. Like, let's say you're at work or school or something. It knows those places.
But you would have to, like, tell it that your car is somewhere.
And that's the thing. The phone is going to know when you're in your car now. And that's how they're going to do that. I guess based on how fast you're moving and patterns.
But that's unsafe. You shouldn't use your phone while driving.
Well, if it's hands-free and...
trying to kill us all.
New cars have hooks in like that. But anyways, I think the big story coming from WWDC was Apple Music.
WWE?
WWDC.
I didn't realize you were into that, Shane.
No, I said I didn't. I never said that. $9.99 a month, same price as Spotify. You get access to everything on the iTunes catalog.
Nah.
And for Apple and Mac users, iPhone users, this is going to be the best solution that's out there.
Eh. Are they offering an education discount if you have an EDU email?
I don't know. They're offering a family discount.
How's that work?
Six people, you get to assign six accounts for $14.99 a month, one price.
That's actually not bad, because I don't think you can't use Spotify in more than one location. I'm not sure if they have family. Let me look that up. So is there a free version with ads?
That would be the radio.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah.
Wait, but with this, like, you can pick.
No, you're not going to be able to pick with the radio. It's just going to be a radio station.
No. iTunes Music.
Yes, you're going to be able to pick what you play. Absolutely.
Okay, so you get one for $10, and then for each additional member, it's $5 a month for Spotify.
No? Oh, so, okay. Apple one's cheaper then.
I mean, unless you have... Well, if you have two people, then it's the same price.
Yeah.
But...
this is true.
Eh. I don't know.
I think it's going to be interesting, and I mean, all it needs to do is play music and let you play whatever you want, wherever you want, and it'll be a success. Because, remember, when you first load up any iPhone or iPod, the first thing that's in the dock is the music application. So, That's going to be the way to do it. And of course, they're all going to be high quality, like you get on the store and everything like that. So, it's really a good idea. So, that launches on June 30th, believe it or not. All right. Final piece of tech news this week relates to BlackBerry. It was revealed on Friday that there's a possibility that BlackBerry will be using Android on an upcoming device.
What?
Exactly. This essentially signifies the failure of the BlackBerry platform in the modern world. Granted, the applications are still used by people and loved by many people, but if they can port those to Android and, you know, put out a good piece of hardware that uses Android, it's going to be an admission that, well, their OS didn't exactly work in the modern world. And I think that's what everyone's known for a long time now.
Yeah, I thought they'd gone out of business or something.
Well, they practically have, because in 2011, when they were at their peak, they had 17,500 people employed. And as of this past February, it was down to 6,200.
Wow. What's their market share?
Like 2%. Less than Windows Phone.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Yep.
And it's so like having less of a market share than OS X, right, Shane?
Actually, OS X's around 9%. But yes.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a joke about your
You know
market
anyone that
share.
Uses a BlackBerry?
No. Wait, doesn't your... Oh, your dad did.
Yeah, he
right?
used to. Switched to iPhone, I think, like 3 years ago now.
Has he snapped it yet?
No.
No?
Okay. Oh, I know why you're asking that.
His father apparently grips his iPhone very, very tightly.
Lots of things tightly. Xbox controllers, too.
Mm-hmm. But that's a story for another time.
It is. It is. So there's your tech news for the week, everyone. We're going to move on to some other things right now, including a Skill of the Month update. What do we got?
Oh, shit. Ah! Come on, Magic King! Alright, so, unsurprisingly, Tim is in first place with 4.7 million experience gamed, and Magic King is close behind with 4.6 million experience gained, and Flash is in third with 3 million experience gained. I want to see Tim lose. I like Tim, but I want to see him lose.
So this isn't anything but Tim
Do
campaign,
it.
Then.
Do it. Finish
and you know,
him.
Magic King definitely has the funds to pull this off now.
Oh, yeah, he found a thing. A Barrows thing.
Yeah, it was like, wasn't that like 130 million clue or something?
I don't know.
Lucky guy.
It's a hell of a lot.
Yeah, so he can pull this off. It's just a matter of will and determination. If he doesn't pull it off, it just means he didn't want to. Hard enough.
Ooh!
What do you got now?
Wow. Oh, that was just my response to your statement.
Oh, okay. I honestly believe if you believe in something hard enough, anything, you can...
All right, I want to spontaneously sprout wings right now. Right now, with no external assistance.
Well, things that aren't...
Oh, it didn't happen.
That things aren't against the laws of physics, right? Like, humans aren't built to fly.
That's what they told me.
All right. Well, there's the update for that. We should have something to announce regarding other skilling competitions within a few days, I think, if all goes well. But we do have one achievement this week, and that was Subsistence got 99 Hunter on the 10th. Congratulations to you.
Woo!
Well, I guess I'll do a pick of the week this week. Mine is something that I've used a few times every so often while, you know, working on various RSVMB-related things. Now, when you have forums and you have things like RuneWire, you have a lot of text to work with, right?
Sure.
And sometimes you want to find various little patterns in this text. Not so much... So that, you know, you're looking for specific words, but something more general, okay?
All right.
Okay, let's say you have a website address in a block of text that you want to extract. Sound good?
Okay.
Now, there's lots of ways you can do this. You can do it the hard way, or you can do it the easy way. One thing that we use a lot of on our RSVMB backend is something called a regular expression. And what this does is it lets us generate expressions that sort this text and pull out the useful data, namely the website addresses. Then we store that elsewhere. So this website is a little website that allows you to test these regular expressions before you put them live, which is a very good thing to do because you don't know if it's going to work or not. So it's just a little tool. If you're a programmer out there, you want to extract some text from a wider body of text. You can write an expression to do this. There's tutorials, cheat sheets, examples. So it's a way to learn as well. And all this can be found at a website called regexer.com.
All right.
And as you can see, it's a pick of the week that's going to be limited almost in the sense that a Mac application would be limited. but it's something that I wanted to share for oh so long.
All right.
Yeah. Regexer.com. Regexr.com.
Hooray!
All right. So I guess I should also take this time to mention our survey one last time, seeing as this is going to be the last week we mention it because, well, it's not going to be spring anymore. But if you haven't already filled in our update listener survey, just head on over to update.rsbnb.com/survey and fill it out. It'll greatly help us understand what we got for a demographic around RSBNB update and ways we can better tailor content towards you. So you can fill it out. It's completely anonymous, and it will help us determine where we go in our next year.
Hooray!
Update.rsbnb.com/survey. All right. So what have you been doing this week?
Fallout New Vegas.
Oh, good. And what number playthrough are you on?
Three?
Oh, that's not too bad. I thought it was something like six.
Yeah, I mean, I have like 83 hours in the past 2 weeks. So, yeah.
All right. Well, it's obviously something you enjoy. And you could be doing worse things with your time.
Yeah, start work Monday, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, you could be out, you know, all night doing bad things and whatnot and things we won't talk about here. So as long as you're doing that, that's okay.
What?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying you'd do such a thing, but it's definitely something that a person could be doing, right?
Technically.
Technically, yes. But granted, you're not that kind of person.
Right. All right. I've been kicking your ass in that impromptu farming competition.
Really?
Also, yes.
Oh, I better work on it this weekend.
Uh-huh. When's that ending?
Do 24 hours from now.
Okay,
24 hours
day.
From now. Yep.
All right.
Yeah, so we've been having a little fun farming competition along the way, and we'll see how that goes. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to share?
Not really. Have I done anything interesting this week? I don't remember. I guess not.
I don't think so, yeah. All right. Well, I think rather for me than talk about things, I'm going to, you know, take a couple of minutes and talk about those words we were going to say, weren't we?
All right.
And since it is the 10-year show, after all, it's unfortunate that Pika wasn't here to celebrate this with us, but as I mentioned
Shane,
in the opener...
Shane,
we will...
okay, I've got to stop you there. You sound like you're about to deliver a eulogy. We're sorry that Pika couldn't be here to experience this with us today. He's not dead, everyone. We think. He just wasn't able to make it tonight to the podcast.
Yes. Correct.
Not like dead, not able to make it. God. See, now that I've planted that in your mind, neither
of
us can get it out of... Neither of us can get it out of our heads, so...
Well, how about I say... how about I give the story about how this whole thing started, then?
Well, I'll just say, he's not dead. Anything that sounds like this is a eulogy is purely coincidental and all Shane's fault. There you go.
Well...
Have at it.
Well, let me just say that back when we started this, I want to say that it was his idea to actually do something like this. The reasoning came around is that at the time he was listening to a lot of talk radio, and his idea was, what if there was something like that for RuneScape? Oh my, what would that look like? And how could we, you know, do something like that? And what would we talk about? You know, and I, at the time, podcasting was just coming on as a newfangled thing where you actually needed an iPod to listen to these things. And I said, oh, we could do it in a podcast format. And there the idea of RSBNB Update was born. We started in June of 2005, and the first episode we published was on June 12th, same day we were recording this. And the first update that we ever talked about was the seeds and farming equipment. So everything pertaining to farming and whatnot essentially started with RSBNB Update. And that's something that I always remember about this. So, and then from there, I mean, we gradually, you know, it took some stumbling. It was probably about the first half year to get the format right and everything like that. You know, microphones, audio quality setup, and all the technical stuff. And over time, it just, you know, became what it is. And I want to say the evolution of the podcast has been just that, evolutionary. We haven't, you know, pulled the carpet out from under everyone and changed the format drastically.
Well, so we've changed co-hosts, but the one stable factor in all of this has been you, Shane.
Indeed. And I think I've only missed two episodes, I want to say.
Five. You have missed five episodes. 2 weeks where there wasn't an episode, and then three you were in a third world country. Also known as New Zealand.
It's not nice you call it third world, but anyways.
I kid.
Yeah. And then, I mean, over time, it's RS news, questions, tech news, other things. And I think the next thing we want to add is a bit of variety to it. So that, I mean, if we want to talk about something related to tech and helping people out with their computers, we can do that. A way to stay safe on your computers, we can do that. So at the end of the day, it's going to be a very interesting thing about where we can go. And I ultimately think that this RSBNB update would not have been what it could have become without you listeners always, you know, providing a source of questions, you know, a source of discussion about it, telling us when we're a little bit too far gone on a certain issue, that kind of thing. So
basically, this podcast was made possible by viewers like you.
To put it lightly, yes. Because
so
if there's no
you.
Listeners, what are we going to do? Exactly. And of course, Pika was the first co-host. He planted the idea. And I'm still going to try desperately to get him on at some point this year. That's something I will not give up on.
Yeah, we've already gotten Mike on. That was my goal for 2015. So.
And then of course, to all the other podcasts.
Podcasts? Podcast? You just said podcast.
I'm losing my mind. See, about an hour and a half in. Podcast
Pod,
host.
You're not that old, are you?
Leading up to you. You guys are
RSBNB update.
Well.
Venture into senility? What's the word?
Oh, maybe. Or Shane's mind.
Senility. That is a word.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Senility.
All right.
Thank you. All right. And of course, that leaves us up where we are now with you as the host, and interesting going to be to see where we go in the next year.
Indeed.
And with that being said, this has been RSBNB Update, episode 521. Thank you for listening and sharing your time with us. See you next week, everyone.
Goodbye, friends.